Well, good evening. So I've got half an hour. Half an hour. And I wonder if tonight I can share a few things about listening to God. And, you know, as far as it goes about listening to God, we had our brother Frank Allen come the other day, and he mentioned in some of the things he talked about was a concept of listening to God I wasn't aware that was developing out there, where there was an audible form of listening to God, where you'd go in a field with a notepad and with the intention that you'd listen to God and you'd write down what he said and you'd come back. And I wonder if I could step back and take a look at the scriptural aspects of listening to God. Now, the reality of why I looked at this was in the context of I had an opportunity to speak to someone a while back, and they had made a decision in their life and were going down a path, and they defined the reason and the purpose of why they were going down that path on the basis that, well, I prayed about it. And I thought, well, that's great. You prayed about it. And it gave a comfort or a reason by which they went down a path that they went by. And I thought, well, that's interesting. There's a lot of decisions I have in my own life where I say, okay, well, where do I get God's direction? And how do I form in myself that voice of God? And how do I know the voice of God from all the other voices? And how do I decipher that for the direction in my life and maybe the direction I might provide other people in their lives? And so that's the reason I was thinking about this, and I'd like to just talk about it for the next little while, because when you think about the voice of God, or when you think about a voice, you kind of recognize that there's a lot that's communicated to us in a voice. You know, there's comfort, there's affection. I can tell my wife I love her with my voice. There's reassurance, there's even a reward, good job. And there's correction that we all hear in our voice. Now, again, we also know that communication is more than just a voice, an audible voice. It's also can be reflected in an expression. There's a lot of interpretive aspects. So you've got body language. You know, if you see me shaking, you know I'm nervous or whatever. But there, it also, communication's effective in that way as well. And so, obviously, like in good communication and in an audible or voice aspect, you also have the anticipation that it's two-way. You know, it's one thing, and I must admit, I've got the me talk to God thing probably pretty down well, but the aspect of him talking to me, how do we develop that and what does that mean? And that was an aspect that kind of made me think when someone says, well, I prayed about it and this is the action I'm going down. I thought, well, let me for myself. So really what I want to explore with you tonight is just kind of let you into my thoughts about how I went through this and what I saw and how I assessed it. And the scripture we're going to look at tonight that's probably familiar to everybody in this room is in 1 Samuel, and it's in 1 Samuel chapter 3. And it's the story of a young boy named Samuel. Now, to go through the background a little bit on that, everyone will remember that Samuel's mother couldn't have a baby. And she was obviously married, and she went to the temple one day, as she went with her husband and the family to the temple every year to worship. And she went to the temple one day, and she was broken. And she cried before God and said, Father, give me a child. And she promised the Lord that if he gave her a child, that she would give it back to him. She would give the child back. And so now we find ourselves in the temple. We pick up on the story of Samuel, actually. So the child was born. A few years later, his wife came back to the temple and gave Samuel to a priest called Eli to serve in the temple under Eli. And so we pick up that story in chapter 3. And one other aspect that'll come out of this story is Eli had two sons that served in the temple as well. And these sons were actually dishonoring the Lord in how they served. And Eli had already been warned that these sons were were acting in a way that was dishonoring to him, and Eli failed to do anything about it. And so that'll come in this story and in this account. And so if we start in, I'm going to read the whole passage. So if we start chapter 3, verse 1. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli, and in those days the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me?" But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. And again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me?" "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me?" Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will take the ears of everyone who hears about it, or make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. And at that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from the beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision. But Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." Maybe I'll end it there. Maybe just ask the Lord's help. Our dear Father, we thank you again for an opportunity we have to open your word. We thank you, Father, that we have full assurance of your word being truth. Father, as we look into it, just ask you for help that I may communicate clearly what you have in my heart. And Father, that it may be edifying and encouraging and instructful to those that hear it. Father, I just ask you to help me tonight, and that you bless this word. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight, in the time we have, I want to look at four things, and I'll probably skim through some of them faster than others, but I want to look at why we listen to God. Why do we listen to God? Why would we do that? Two, how do we recognize God's voice? How do we recognize God's voice? How does God speak to us today? Because that seems to be an important topic, or a relevant topic in certain areas. And then we heard, now what? So I just want to go through those few things. Now, when we talk about why listen to God, it's interesting because Peter was faced with a similar question, right? He was at a crossroads of whether he should listen to Jesus or not. When we look at John 6, and again, you can turn to it, and I'll run through this quickly, but in John 6, verses 66 to 68, it says, From that time, many of his disciples, Jesus' disciples, went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." So as we live our lives as Christians, we know that we have a lot of voices out there that we can listen to. there's a lot of people that are giving us different messages. They're telling us how we should live. They provide us with ideas and theories, and it can get very noisy out there. Peter's response was to simply point to the Lord Jesus because he had the words of eternal life. And as Christians, we understand that. We have that basis to understand that the Lord Jesus should have that priority in our lives. But Peter, in this discussion, kind of set straight his priorities, that they were with the Lord. But it also asked, when I was reading this, I kind of asked myself, well, what other voices am I prioritizing in my life? What other things that am I listening to that maybe even make the Lord's voice less prominent and less identifiable? And it was something that I looked at. What voices would give me a sense that is more important to his? And of course, I trust everyone in this room has heard the voice of the Lord once. I think of the verse in Revelations that says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice, I will come in." And because that's one of the most important times when we hear the Lord's voice and we can acknowledge that, yes, I've heard the Lord's voice and I've accepted him as my personal Savior. Now, in Hebrews 1, it tells us how God used to speak to us and how he speaks to us today. In Hebrews 1, verse 1, it says, "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times in its various ways." So he spoke through the prophets. Somebody like Samuel, for example, Samuel was a prophet. "But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, who he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe." Now, it continues, and the reason it and one of the reasons I want to continue it is because when we talk about our priorities and about the impact of the Lord Jesus has and the light and the words of eternal life, it says in verse 3, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word." So that's how we are spoken to today. "After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." So like Samuel didn't know God, but God wanted to make himself known to Samuel, God also wants to make himself known to us through the Lord Jesus. Now, how do we recognize the voice of God? So how do we recognize God's voice? So you've probably had this experience where your phone rings and you pick it up, and then someone starts talking to you on the other end. And the voice may be familiar, but you can't put a name to the voice. And then they say, "Well, how's your spouse?" or "How are the kids?" and "How's your job going?" And you're still listening, hoping that something's going to trigger in your mind. I think we've all done that. In our passage today, it's clear that Samuel didn't know God's voice. He didn't recognize it, because you might say he probably never heard it before. He wasn't listening for it. Samuel had no expectation that God was going to speak to him. He had full expectation that Eli was going to speak to him. And God called him three times, and he didn't have a clue. Should Samuel have had an expectation that God was going to speak to him? Probably, but that's a whole other discussion. Should we have an expectation? Should I have an expectation that God should speak to me? I should. We should. It really comes down to a function of what we're listening for in our Christian life. The other way I can put it is, many of you know I have a number of cars, and all old cars, but sometimes they're driven by different people in my family, and on the odd occasion, if I have to go to the grocery store, I'll take one of the keys of the car I haven't driven for a while. And I'll start it up, I'll turn the fan off, I'll turn the radio off, and I'll just drive it in silence. And my intention is, I want to listen to see if something's wrong, whether there's a rub on the brake, or the transmission's acting funny, whatever it might be. Many a times, or there's been times I've come home, and with that expectation to hear, I actually hear something. And so I come home and I say, whoever might be driving the car, I say, well, did you hear this? And I'll get one of three answers. I'll say that, you know, I'll say, did you hear this noise? And then, well, I'll get one of three answers. They'll say, what noise? Common. And then the second time it's, I heard it and I was going to tell you. And okay, well, that's fine. And then the third one that I don't really like is, it goes away when you turn the radio up, right? And so it's like, okay, well, wait a second. That's not what I was listening to. But Samuel wasn't listening for God. He was listening for Eli. Samuel didn't know God, so how could he recognize his voice? So it rests to us that as we listen for God, as we know his voice and get to know his voice, our ability to apply it. Now, have you ever thought what God's voice would sound like if it was audible? Now, I know that's not how God speaks to us today, and I don't want to imply that that's necessarily how he speaks to us. But if you ever imagined God's voice, now, if you've ever seen a movie like Moses or some of the other Old Testament movies, you expect this booming voice of God, and you know, it's a huge presence of authority and volume. And it kind of, but my point is that if we can picture a voice, because we've got a human nature of ourselves, we picture what that character is like. So you can all picture someone maybe in your past that was a kind, gentle, giving person, and you would kind of attribute that voice to their character. And so I was thinking about that, and I thought, well, what would the voice of God sound like? And again, I'm thinking in Samuel's shoes a little bit. What would his expectation have been of God's voice? And I was thinking of Exodus chapter 34 and verse 5. I think it's 34 verse 5. And it says, now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, etc., etc. And then I was thinking, okay, well, what would that voice sound like? You know, when we think about merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, what would that voice sound like? And then I thought Romans 5 and 8, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The life of Jesus himself, people were expecting physical might, but that wasn't the Jesus that we had, or that existed. When thinking about what God's voice would be like in human terms, I also thought, okay, well, what would the outcome be? If you think of God and his compassion and his long-suffering and his grace and his mercy and his righteousness, what would the outcome look like? And I thought about godly wisdom. You know, God gives us instruction in his holy word about when we act and when we hear his voice, how we confirm to hear his voice, because it won't be contrary to his character. It will be consistent with who he is. And I was thinking of James chapter 3, for example, and where we have what I term godly wisdom. In James chapter 3, it gives us an opportunity to understand what godly wisdom is so that we can identify godly wisdom when we apply it to what we feel God's instructions are for us, or what we sense God's instructions for us, because it allows us to confirm, because if godly wisdom is, if we're not applying godly wisdom to instructions, then I'd suggest to you that we may have a challenge, that maybe that isn't the voice of God. Because in James chapter 3, verse 15, it says, and it's the warning of prior to this, it says, for jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. It's not God's wisdom. So jealousy and selfish ambition. And in verse 17, but the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving. It's gentle at all times, and it's willing to yield to others. It's full of mercy and good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. One of the challenges as I thought about it was, if I don't apply godly wisdom, can I get a godly answer? Can I can pursue in a godly manner? I guess my answer is maybe, but I know for sure that if I'm applying godly wisdom to decisions I'm making, then the voice of the Lord is much more prominent in my life because I'm applying godly wisdom in that. Well, how do we apply, how do we know and recognize God's voice? Well, it's consistent with the character of who He is really what my point is. And if the result is to counter to who God is, well, then it's likely lacking in some of those, it's likely lacking in not the voice of God. So how does God speak to us? Well, this is rather straightforward in a lot of respects. We start with the Word of God, right? In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16-17, it says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching. It's useful for rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the Word of God is one of our number one go-to places, obviously as Christians, to seek his will and his understanding. In Hebrews 4, it says, for the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul, spirit, joints, and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So again, going to his Word and being before him in that regard. Obviously, prayer. Prayer. Samuel had a direct conversation with God. With Eli's instructions, Samuel had an opportunity to say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Prayer is like that, isn't it? In 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive. One of the authors put it this way, and I'll just read this phrase because I thought it was well phrased. Often through prayer, our minds become clearer and our hearts are more sensitive to God. Again, we may not hear God's literal voice, but His Spirit confirms a certain direction or answer for us. As the distractions fade, we can sense His leading in a new way. Sometimes while praying, God's Spirit will remind us of a scripture or a truth in His Word that we can directly apply to the situation. So prayers is a way that God takes an opportunity for us not only to speak to Him, but for us to meditate and for Him to speak to us and give us direction. Now, through our circumstances, God can speak to us in the third way, through our circumstances. Samuel was in a place where God could speak to him. Samuel could have been consumed by his unfortunate circumstances, but he wasn't. I was thinking about Samuel as a little guy, thinking maybe what got to the temple when he was 3 years old. He would have had every opportunity to, in the right extent, turn inward and say, what a miserable life. I don't have a mom. I don't have a dad. I serve in a temple. I have this elderly gentleman that I'm effectively working over. His circumstances could have dictated who he was, but he chose not to. Throughout the scripture, God uses circumstances to guide and instruct us. One of the most blatant is the plagues brought in on Egypt, for example, or to convince Pharaoh to let the Israelites go. The same with Joseph. Joseph said clearly when he met his brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So the circumstances we find ourselves in, sometimes God speaks to us through. And then, of course, God speaks to us through other people. 1 Samuel 23, for example, I always think of Jonathan and David. And in Jonathan, in 1 Samuel 23, verse 16, it says, Jonathan, Saul's son, rose and went to David at Horesh and strengthened his hand in God. It makes us realize, and makes me realize, that at times we represent the voice of God, right? In the sense of giving direction, encouragement, comfort, instruction, And it's humbling to some degree when we are there, because it's as iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another, but it also recognizes that when we are put in that position, that it's important for us to make sure that our instruction, our comfort, is according to God's will, and we go back to godly wisdom, we go back to those other aspects to ensure that as we provide advice, guidance, and just friendship, that it's in the Lord. So it's interesting now that, and the last point I'll raise is, so now what? So we have Samuel. Samuel had an opportunity to say, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. So he had a choice when it came to the end. And one author put it this way, it's less important how God speaks to us than what we do with what he says. So it's less important how God speaks to us than what we do with what he said. It's interesting to read at the end of Samuel, after God spoke to him and told him his judgment on Eli, Samuel was afraid. It was expected that Samuel was about maybe 12 years old at this particular point. Eli was a father figure to him, I assume. And it's interesting that Samuel, after hearing this as a 12-year-old boy, of the consequences to Samuel and or to Eli and his sons, that he'd have to tell Eli this. The challenge that comes with listening and hearing God is that we then have a choice, just like Samuel did. Samuel chose to obey and chose to tell Eli everything that had happened. And we have that similar choice. Do we choose to obey God or don't we? Do we follow God's guidance, dismiss it, modify it, rationalize it, or do we just simply obey it? I was thinking that, well, wouldn't it be much easier in the Old Testament days where they heard God's voice and there was no confusion? They just kind of heard, God told them what to do, and they did it. And then, well, we know how well that worked for Eli. It didn't work very well for Eli. He knew what God's expectations were and he didn't do it. And then I was thinking, well, what about Jonah? I thought I'd go back to Jonah and see, well, what was it with Jonah? And Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. I think that's pretty clear. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So really my point being that in the days of the prophet, where God spoke to them verbally and there was no confusion in the message, there was still disobedience. There was still messages that weren't accomplished, that weren't followed through, instructions that were ignored. In John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus replied, "And if anyone loves me, he will keep my words." And in James 1:25, it says, "But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does." Right? So God is speaking to each one of us. He chooses different ways to speak. The question really is, are we listening? Do we have an expectation to hear? He loves us, and this is reflected in the mercy and the loving way he speaks to us. I was thinking the other aspect is, having Samuel and Eli having a relationship, and if you think of it, and we don't know this for sure, but I would suspect it was a fatherly son relationship where Eli was a kind-spirited man, having seen this boy since a very young age. And in my mind, I take Eli's voice as a soft, kind, compassionate type of voice, firm, but out there to Samuel. And then I realized, well, Samuel mistook God's voice for Eli's voice. And I thought, what an opportunity to think about the compassion and love of the Lord Jesus as it relates to a young boy and reflecting it in a voice, in an audible, as he speaks to each one of us. It's with mercy, it's with love, it's with compassion, it's with grace. And that's how he speaks into each one of our lives, isn't it? So, in closing, my thought was, the next time someone says, or that I am tempted to say, well, I prayed about it, and that's the direction that I want to go down to, I think it warrants someone to say, or for me to say, well, so what did he say? And how did he say it? And how is God's character and wisdom reflected in your decision? Right? Because those are the things that we judge God's voice, and we ensure that we're not acting selfishly, we don't have selfish ambition, we don't have those other issues that come up that kind of mask or drown out the voice of God. Anyways, I trust you've been blessed by those few comments this evening, and maybe we just commend ourselves with a word of prayer. Our dear Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you that you've spoken unto us now through your Son. We thank you that it speaks mercy and grace. Thank you that it speaks forgiveness of sin. Father, as we seek to honor and glorify you here, help us hear your voice, because you want to speak into our lives, and you do speak into our lives. Father, help us to have an expectation for you to speak to us. Help us to judge our hearts and motives and thoughts so that we can know for sure that your voice is true and it's there. Father, thank you for this time together. I just ask you that you bless us as we part. In Jesus' name, amen.